Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. Oh my gosh, it's a beautiful day in Baltimore. Hopefully it's beautiful where you are. You know what? Even if the sky was cloudy and it was pouring down rain, it would still be beautiful. Here's why. This is a surreal day for me for a few different reasons. The first reason is with me at this present time. Do you realize that back in the late 60s, my first LP ever was Child is Father to the Man by Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
Oh, my God.
Yes. On that album was a gentleman that I never knew was literally minutes from where I lived, because he went to high school in Cheltenham, and I went to school at Bishop McDevitt in Wincote, just around the corner. We never knew each other, but that man was Randy Brecker. He, of course, found fortune and fame, married well, and had a most wondrous daughter. And now, Child is Father to the Man has come alive, because this beautiful singer and songwriter and very shrewd businesswoman is with us right now, the illuminating Amanda Brecker. Amanda.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
You know what?
That's amazing.
You almost feel like family to me.
Oh, well, I'm so happy to hear that. That's so great. That was one of your first records, and that you went to school right there, you know, and you're my dad. That's such a coincidence. It's wonderful.
It really is something else. And you,
wow.
I just cannot believe that Blossom, here we have, this is your third project, and it's released in the States. Are you just going a little crazy because of all the wonderful accolades you're getting for this, Amanda?
I am. I'm just so thrilled and just so excited, and it's been such a great journey so far and such a wonderful opportunity, because originally this third album, Blossom, was only supposed to be released in Japan, because I'm signed there to Universal. And when I signed up to do this, I said, you know, that's great. It was their idea. And, you know, I've been such a fan of James Taylor and Carole King growing up. And grew up listening to them. I know my uncle Michael Brecker was very close to James Taylor, so it speaks to me very much. And so I was so thrilled to do this. And then I was even more thrilled when I found out that Decca here in the United States decided they wanted to pick it up and release it worldwide. So yes, I'm thrilled.
That's so wonderful. And from my understanding, and this is kind of hard to believe, this is the first of its kind tribute record to Carole King and James Taylor. Is that correct?
It is. You know, I wasn't even so sure myself when they said, oh, you know, let's do this tribute album. And I thought, okay, you know, yeah, that would be great. But I was thinking, someone must have already done that. And then I did my research. We did our research. And no, I mean, of course, their songs have been covered individually many, many times. But never has there been a tribute album. So I'm honored to be the first to have done that.
Now, you know, this is so intriguing, because you, of course, just by your household scenario, you were immersed in music, but it's so unique to me that you got your record deal, 2008 or so?
Yes.
In Japan. Why did that come to be? I'm really intrigued.
Well, you know, it's so funny how things happen. And in 2008, I was teaching, actually. I was teaching full-time. I was teaching French at the United Nations School. And although, of course, I mean, music has always been a huge part of my life. And, you know, when I went to college, I majored in languages, and I did a minor in music. And I was always doing music on the side. And so, yeah, I was teaching full-time. And at that time, I was also playing and just doing it just for fun, but it wasn't a career path for me at that time. And what happened was, I was just kind of in the right place at the right time. Of course, I've known people growing up, and I was actually at a concert and watching a wonderful band, and my mom was with me, And there was a producer, his name is Dave Matthews, not the Dave Matthews from
right.
Dave Matthews Band, but another Dave Matthews. He's been working with a company in Japan for many, many years and produced there, and he has a big band there. And he heard me when I was very little, because even as a little girl, I was constantly in the studio. I recorded with my mom or with my dad or Nana Vasconcelos or all these, and just all different types of projects. And he heard me when I was little. And he remembered that. And he came up to me and he said, you know, are you still singing or what's going on? You know, you're out of college now. What are you doing? And I told him and I said, yeah, I'm still writing. I'm still playing for fun. And at that point, I wasn't playing guitar. I was just playing piano. And he told me about this startup label that he started with another person in Japan, and it was called Birds Records at the time. And they were looking to sign, American artists, international artists. And he said, you know, I'd be interested to hear what you're doing. Can you send me some material? And that's kind of how it evolved. I sent him some of my originals, and I sang for him, and they signed me. So that's kind of how it happened. And from one minute to another, I was, pursuing my music career. So that's how it kind of evolved.
That's really neat, you know. It never is any sort of coincidental situation when somebody
right.
presents himself or herself to you and you figure, okay, you know what, I've got to take advantage, because lest anybody thinks otherwise, Amanda, I'll just speak for you in this regard. Just because you are the daughter of royalty in music does not make that an easy path for you. It's not a given that things are just going to be open up. Any door will just beckon you. You had to work really hard to get where you are.
Oh, yes. Oh, for sure. Even once I was signed, it took a little while, the process, of course. He had to listen to the songs. We talked a few times, and he said, how do you feel about doing this? Because as far as I was concerned, I was teaching full-time, and as much as I loved music, I had already committed to, you know, the end of the year of teaching, and he said, you know, you'll have to start going to Japan and write more material, and, you know, it's a very different lifestyle, as I know well, growing up with it. I worked very hard, and for the first album, and for the second album, same thing. I mean, I was still signed to Birch Records, but with every album, it's not so easy. You have to prove yourself. You have to sell CDs. You have to deliver, and you have to do all of that. And you have to, of course, it doesn't hurt to have, you know, my parents have the last name that I have, but, you know, that is, it's almost secondary. I definitely had to prove myself, and I was happy doing so. I mean, I really wanted to do something that's my own, and that's kind of the path that I'm taking now. As much as I love jazz and I appreciate it and it's part of me and it's in my blood, I naturally gravitated towards something else, and I'm very lucky, I feel like, for that, because it's just, for me, since I was little, I always wanted to kind of, I would go to the piano, and I was more on the pop side of things, a little bit pop or folk, but I always welcomed jazz as well. I mean, it was always such a big part of my life, so it's kind of taken a life of its own, and it's really great.
And it has to be organic. I mean, you can't force a situation to fit itself. You have to hear something in your head. And when I hear you being so relaxed, and it's a natural fit, you and Blossom. And I guess I have to give a lot of credit to the producer, Jesse Harris. He really, he and you were really simpatico, weren't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, thank you. Yes, we were. I mean, it was such a pleasure to work with Jesse. And I think the reason why we also work so well is because even before this project even came into play and before it was decided, Jesse and I have been very, very good friends for years. And that's how we were. I mean, we never really worked together before this. And we just built a friendship. And it was funny because when I discovered this is what I was doing, I spoke to him and I was really just asking for his opinion because I saw him so much. Of course, I admire him so much, but I also see him just so much as a good friend. And I was saying, you know, I'm looking to I don't know what to do. I mean, I have to think of a producer. And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean? He said, I'll do it, you know. So at that point, it kind of clicked. And I said, yeah, you know, let's do this together. I think it would be great. And he's just, you know, he's great. And he's so tasteful. And he got such a great group of musicians.
I'll say.
Yeah. He really did. I have to say, it was just such an honor to record in L.A. with, you know, Lee Sklar and Russ Kunkel. I mean, Larry Golding.
Unbelievable.
Anthony Wilson. Yeah, I mean, they were all incredible. It was really just very special.
And they know, Lee and Russ, my gosh, I've been following their careers for a long time, too. Shoo! I mean, you know, Russ, such a big part of that Southern California country and rock scene when I was growing up. And then to see him morph into the kind of musician he has morphed into. And Lee, you know, you can't possibly define how old Leland Sklar is because he's almost immortal.
It's true. It's true. It's amazing. It really is. It is. It's really amazing. Yes.
And they just got you. They really, they were so comfortable honoring you and what you intended to do with those songs because, you know, you are a gutsy woman. God bless you. You decided to tackle these songs that are time-honored. Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight, Something in the Way He Moves, Sweet Baby James, Will You Love Me Tomorrow. These are some of the favorite songs that people ever had. But you, I have to say, Amanda, it was such a pleasure to hear you and your take. My son, who is going to be 21 in a couple of weeks, came in to listen to you today, and he said, what? A sweet and authentic voice.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very
sweet. Isn't that cool? Authentic is a big word.
It is a big word. I'm flattered. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's really, yeah, it really was. It was a special project. And I knew going into it, I thought, you know, there was a part of me that that thought, wow, you know, these songs, of course, they've been done before. I mean, these are some incredible songs. And I said, you know, but I'm going to do it the way I see it, and Jesse felt the same way. We said, well, of course, we'll stay true to the songs, but we'll give it our own little, you know, whatever that is. and then all the musicians were really great in understanding the concept of it and what we were going for, and it was really seamless. I mean, being there with them at the studio and recording, we were there for about maybe 10 days, and everybody just, it was like a big family. It was really, really, really great.
I'll bet. And what was the response that you got? Because, you know, Russ and Lee had been working with Carol and James, and they knew how important this was to you to do this project. What did they say? They must have been kind of emotional when you decided to do these songs.
You know, they were, and I think they were just so, they were touched that it was something that I wanted to do, especially knowing my family background and, you know, knowing how James Taylor and my uncle were close back when, and so they were just, they were touched by it, and they were very open to, you know, let's try something a little different on one song, like the song You Can Close Your Eyes, which is a beautiful song written by James Taylor. And on the original, there are no drums. Russ isn't playing. And we said, you know, let's try something different. So they were very open to trying something new, but, you know, again, staying true to the song, but creating something fresh and being very, very tasteful all the way through. So it was very special.
And you can just hear some thought processes going on. I'm going to play a song here because I definitely want folks to get a taste of Amanda Brecker. And when you were thinking of your own personal thoughts to bring that authenticity, thank you, my son, into this particular really wonderful meat and potatoes album,
you must have had your own thoughts, and I'm thinking specifically of You've Got a Friend.
Oh yeah, that was great. I loved recording You've Got a Friend. I
can tell.
I don't know. Yeah, I really did. It was I think one of my favorites actually to record, and it was just so kind of a free flowing. When I did it with Larry, we practiced it together, and we kind of did it as a waltz, and he really fed off of what I was singing. I mean, it was just very personal. It was just the two of us, and it was a very special connection within that song, and just changing it and making it in a way a little soulful, and it was great. That I really enjoyed doing that one.
And I like it because, Amanda, I hear a longing in your voice, and
yes,
that's what makes it really special, because it's an important song for anyone to hear if someone's saying, I think of you when I hear this song. One of the most magical songs ever. But when there's that longing in it, it's transformational, actually.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's what I felt. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was. There was definitely longing in there, and it was very touching, even for me to get up there and sing that and make it my own. It was emotional. It was great. It really was.
And you did. You made the song your own, and we're going to stop talking about it and play the doggone thing.
All right.
This is Amanda Brecker from her Blossom CD, brand new. And please, AmandaBrecker.com has more information on how you can get a hold of it. Let's hear this beautiful take on You've Got a Friend on Hybrid Jazz.
Here's what Amanda Brecker has been able to do in 4 minutes and 54 seconds. She has managed to put tears in the eyes of two men in the chat room and made everybody else.
No.
Yes, you did. We have regulars that come here all the time, and now there's more guests because of you and Jeffrey today, Amanda. And I have to say that we were just talking about one of our beloved regulars who lost her mom a few months ago. So we had this conversation, your song comes on, and everybody just stopped in their tracks because they were riveted to your voice and that particular song.
Mm. Oh, well, thank you. That means so much. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
That's so wonderful. And you are going to take that glorious, authentic, wonderfully soulful voice to Birdland tonight. Am I correct?
Yes, yes, yes. It's the first time that I'm singing at the Birdland with my own band. I've done it before. When I was little, I sang there with my mom and my dad. But, yes, I'm really looking forward to it. We'll play a bunch of songs off of Blossom, and then we'll also be doing a bunch of original material as well. So I'm excited to do that. Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be good. I'll be playing the guitar on some, and then I'll play piano on one of the songs, and, you know, add a little Portuguese in there and a little Brazilian groove. And so it'll be a nice mix. I'm really looking forward to it.
And who are you going to have in the band with you? Because I know folks who listen to this show always like to know that.
Yes. Well, Jesse is going to be there. So
oh, good.
Jesse Harris. Yeah. So Jesse Harris will be playing, which I'm really looking forward to. So he'll play on the James Taylor and Carole King songs, as well as a few originals of mine. And then the other musicians I've been playing with for a little while now. Some are in Jesse's band, but there's a piano player. His name is Romain Collin, and he's great. And we'll have Jake Goldboss, who's a wonderful percussionist, Bill Dobrow on drums, Tomek Mirnowski on bass, and am I missing anybody? I think I got everyone. Me, and then there will be Jesse and David Hurwitz, who's a guitar player. He'll be joining us, and Michael Day on electric guitar. So it's a big band.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it'll be a lot of us. And we performed last week, 2 weeks ago, for the release on February 26th, and Anthony Wilson was in town, so he joined us for that, which was really nice.
That's really incredible. You have such a big future in front of you. What particularly excites you at this stage in your career, now that Blossom is here in the States, you're playing Birdland tonight. Oh, my gosh, who knows who is going to be there to support
right.
you? What would you like to see happen to Amanda Brecker?
Well, what I'd like to see, I'm so grateful for what's happened thus far, and I'd really like to, for my next album, record mostly original songs. So that's
great.
Kind of, I'm really working towards that, and I just want to keep playing and travel and share my music with the world and, you know, see where it takes me. But that's where I want to go. And definitely I want to record a next album and show a little bit more of you know, what I do also and what I write and how that goes. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, this is a loaded question. Do you miss teaching?
Yeah, well, you know what? So far I'm still doing it on and off a little bit. I'm not teaching
good.
Full time. But whenever they need me at the United Nations School, where I went to school, whenever they need me to sub, I go in and I have some private students that I teach on the side. So I still have it. And, teaching is great, and I do miss it. But I love what I'm doing right now. And I'm very passionate about my music And this is where I want to be. So I'm very happy.
Well, we'll have to keep in touch, Amanda, because honestly, any time that you have a gig coming up, I really want folks to gravitate to you and what you do, because you just have this fresh take on so much of what music can be. You've got this youth-oriented voice for sure, but there's so much wisdom behind that voice, and that's like lethal.
No. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you
absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to stay in touch.
Yeah, I love the idea. I had no idea. You were really putting pedal to the metal today, saying you could do the show, and I'm going to let you go momentarily because I did not know that you were going to do Birdland tonight.
Yeah. It's tonight, yeah. You know, we'll have an early sound check, and then I leave for LA on Monday, where I will be performing Wednesday night with Lee, actually. Lee Sklar, Jesse's coming, Anthony Wilson, and Mike Shapiro on drums, and John Gilliton on piano. So that'll be fun. We're going to do that in LA next week.
That's awesome. Well, give Lee our love. He's very entertaining with what he posts on Facebook. And
oh yes, he's known for his posts. I know.
Oh, holy cow! He must rival George Takei as far as people responding to his posts, because he's very opinionated and he's funny.
Yes,
and
he
if he loves you and he loves you, he will go to the wall for you.
Yeah, that's very true. It is very true. I'm very fortunate, and he's just such a great musician and such a wonderful soul. You know, it's a pleasure. So I'm looking forward to seeing him again. It's going to be the first time I see him since we recorded the album. So it'll be a good time.
Well, you're a wonderful soul too, and I'm so glad that you had this time with us. And if you go to amandabrecker.com, you will see that Here I Am was her debut, and then it was Brazilian Passion, and now Blossom is hitting big.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes. Thank you so much. And yeah, you know, and look out for the next one. It's not going to be for a while, but I'm working on it, and hopefully I'll be back in the studio in the next few months to record it. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm just going to ask you in advance, when it's done, would you consider coming back?
Yes. Oh, of course. Yes.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Amanda, you are a treat, and I thank you again, and we'll see you down the road for sure. I'll come see you, whether it's in New York or L.A. or whatever, but a posse of us are going to come to support you.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. I look forward to meeting you in person.
Me too, Amanda. Thank you.
All right. No problem. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amanda Brecker. Wonderful. Just wonderful. And I knew she would be. I knew that this beautiful woman with so much of a legendary genealogy is forging a road for herself to be legendary. It's just so wild to conceive of going back years and years and knowing Randy and not personally, mind you, and Eliana Elias, and knowing that kind of musical genius reached into the ears and soul of a young one who is forging her own path. I just love that whole concept so much. Bless her heart. Let us continue, shall we? Now, look, I have no idea what this day will bring, only what I'm told it will bring. So, in that regard, let us move on, and let us try to see if we can find a short song so that we can hopefully introduce to you the man of this hour, and we'll do that by making sure you hear this song from the brand-new album, A Time for Love. I don't see the phone popping up yet, but I'm hopeful. Jolynn told me it was going to happen. We'll see. This is Jeffrey Osborne and Smile.
Though your heart is aching, smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile with your fear and sorrow, life is still worthwhile if you just light up your face with gladness, hide every trace of sadness, although a tear may be ever so near. That's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just like an April breeze on the wings of spring, and you appear in all your splendor. My one and only love, the shadows fall and spread their mystic in the hush of night, while you're in my arms, I feel your lips so warm and tender, my one and only love. The touch of your hand is like heaven, a heaven that I've never known. The blush on your cheek whenever I speak tells me that you are my own. You fill my eager heart with such desire, every kiss you give sets my soul on fire. I give myself in sweet surrender, my one and only love. touch of your hand is like heaven. A heaven that I've never known. The blush on your cheek whenever I speak tells me that you are my own. You fill my eager heart with such desire. Every kiss you give sets my soul on fire. I give myself in sweet surrender. My one and only love. My
just amazing. Oh my gosh. You have to consider that this particular album, A Time for Love, came out in late January. No surprise to any fan that it would debut number one on the contemporary jazz charts. This man I have known of since time immemorial. I'm probably older than most folks who are listening right now. It's okay. Let me just say this out loud, okay? I didn't even know what pole dancing was. And when I heard Jeffrey Osborne when I was a sub-teen, I was doing something. I don't know what. It was some sort of foreshadowing of the art these days. But let me just say how important this vocalist is to mankind. I heard Dick Clark say this in an interview from the 70s and then the 80s as well. He knew that he was talking to greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, we have greatness with us today. Jeffrey Osborne. Jeffrey, welcome.
How are you?
You know what? I'm better now.
Wow. Yeah, I was kind of listening to the song you were playing. That was kind of that's like my favorite song on the record, actually.
And you know what? That's exactly why I played it, because that is one of my favorite songs of all time. I heard you do that, and I was really being cautious because so many people have covered it. But, Jeffrey, you fell in love with that song, and you said it was intimidating for you, didn't you?
Well, you know, those classic songs, those songs, you have to respect them. You have to respect the melody more than anything. And that's really what I wanted to do with this whole record, was pay tribute to the melodies. And, you know, I didn't want to go in and try to oversing these songs or come in from an R&B perspective and try to sing all kind of runs all over. I really wanted to pay tribute to the beauty of the melody and just sit in there and sing the melodies.
Well, this is what you remember because, you know, I relate to this so much. You were the youngest of 12 children, so you had to fight to get heard, and you had to fight to get your music played, and so you were kind of enveloped in what was in the house, and your dad was a musician, so you heard some of these great songs.
I heard all of these great songs. You know, like I said, I'm the youngest of 12, so all my sisters were into Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald and Gloria Lennon, Carmen McRae, and then, you know, my dad was into Clifford Brown and Miles Davis, and I got the chance to hear people like Johnny Hartman, who is one of my all-time favorite baritone, and his rendition of this song
Yes.
With John Coltrane is like my favorite of all time, you know. So I got a chance to grow up with these songs. I'm actually more comfortable with these songs than I am with the R&B, doing R&B, because this is really my roots, you know, and I sang these songs growing up with all my family.
It was second skin. I mean, just so folks know, A Time for Love covers some revered tunes. The Shadow of Your Smile, which is also one of my favorite songs. Holy cow! You took that Johnny Mandel song, and I guess George Duke, God bless him, I love George with all my heart, he and you got together to do the intro for that song, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
So you dug deep as far as what the original intent of the song was, and coming from a lot of us, that's really appreciated, Jeffrey.
Well, like I said, I grew up with these songs. I sang a lot of these songs in nightclubs when I was growing up, and so I have so much respect for these songs. And it's so easy to sing them because lyrically they're incredible also. So when you have melody and lyric that just like a marriage like that, and you know, and I get a chance to sing with George Duke, and I'm seriously in the moment at that time. I mean, I am enjoying myself so much, and you know, it was just a joy to work with George. And then Eric Vobler, the engineer, is just brilliant. And I mean, and for what he did with my voice, the way he sat it out, and George just wrapped the arrangements around it, and it just has such a nice intimate feel. And that's the beauty of working with George.
I have to say, George, not only is he just so superior in his ear for production, but such a glorious musician. We played Smile right before My One and Only Love, and he was playing harmonica. What? What? Oh,
yeah,
my.
George is pretty brilliant, and he's just so tasteful, you know. Everything he does is just so tasteful, and it just like falls right into the right spot, and it's so easy to work with him. You know, he did my first three solo albums, and and the worst thing I ever did was to venture off and go work with other producers, because there's just something about working with George that brings out the essence of what I really want to do. So it was a blessing to be able to get back together with him.
And you know what? It's so amazing to me. You can't say this. None of us can say this about artists as a rule. But when you and George worked together in the 80s, you ran the gamut, the best of balladry and the best of up-tempo. I'm telling you what, you know how you hear some artists describe getting the hairbrush to speak into the microphone, because of course they're just playing around and looking into the mirror to see if you could sing. So many of us did that with Stay With Me Tonight, It's Not Even Funny. Oh my gosh. And then on the wings of love, and you know, your birthday was last Saturday, so happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, and I'm right behind you, so I know how pivotal these birthdays are. We were playing Jeffrey Osborne songs a couple of weeks ago, and I'm looking at Love Ballad. What am I going to play? We both deserve each other's love. We're going all the way. The Woo Woo song. Holy cow! Do you look back at your career and do you feel as if you're living a surreal life?
Well, you know, I just feel very blessed, you know, that I was able to do what I truly love, and to make an incredible living at doing what I just love to do. I mean, I would do this if I never got a dime for it. I'd still be in there singing. You know, I grew up in that environment, and my mother had me singing for her friends when I was 3 or 4 years old.
Really?
She tells me she had me singing. I don't remember, but I know she had me singing Johnny Mathis songs for all her friends. And he's one of my all-time favorite vocalists, too. I love Johnny Mathis.
You know what? That's interesting that you should say that. I never made that connection, but shoo, yeah.
Back in the day, we were listening to the songs he did from West Side Story and those great 60s sounds that made women go crazy, and now here you are all these years later still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
what is it about, besides the obvious, this album, A Time for Love? Do you consider this now, Jeffrey, as one of the highlights of your career?
I definitely do. I, to be honest with you, I think this is probably my favorite record I've ever done.
Really?
Because, yeah, well, it's just so musical. And I've always wanted to do something that is just musical, you know. I mean, we got some great soloists on this record. We got Rick Braun playing solos, Everett Harp. We got Paul Jackson Jr. And then there's this young kid named Kamasi Washington who played that solo on My One and Only Love.
Great.
He sounds like an old soul. He's like 22 years old. He sounds like an old Coltrane.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
You know, and then we've had Walt Fowler play a trumpet solo on, I believe it was Nature Boy. So it's just musical to me, and that's what I love about it. You know, I've always, like I said, I've always wanted to do something like this. And I just wish that my father was around to hear it, because this is a side of me that I would love for him to have heard.
Oh, he's hearing it for sure. And you got some smiles going on in heaven, because the interesting thing that I have heard about this album, and it was really amazing to hear the so-called critics, because everybody's a critic in their own way, but the people who get paid to talk about a particular album, they said about your album that if you cover tunes that have been done and done well by so many others, you really have to take a step back. With you, however, across the board, everyone has said, it's mind-blowing that Jeffrey Osborne has stepped in to greatness and made a new chapter of greatness.
Well, that's incredible.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, and I knew that going in, that these songs have been done over and over, and people are probably tired of hearing the same song over and over. But I think the beauty is that it was George treated every song and arranged them so that they were totally different than every other arrangement that was out there. That was the most important thing. And then we did this live. We tracked it live. It was George playing piano, Christian McBride on bass, and John Roberts. And I sang while we tracked this. And so I think the feeling is there, because we paid attention to one another, we listened to one another, and everyone was complimenting one another. And I think it's the feel of the record, because you don't get that anymore today. People don't record live anymore.
That is true. And furthermore, it's a rare set of occurrences when you have musicians that are equally yoked. Some superior musicianship there. And George, he cannot get away from Philly at all. He's got Christian McBride from Philadelphia on bass, and of course, he's going to be with Stanley in New York next week. So, you know, even though he's California, he's always going to have this East Coast connection. And here you are. You've been friends for like how many years?
Well, me and George hooked up in 1982, so we've been friends, you know, and I've worked with him before that, you know, with LTD. We had done shows together, so I've always been a major fan of his. I mean, he's an incredible artist in his own right, and not to mention his production chops are ridiculous, you know. But, for me as a vocalist, I feel so comfortable putting myself in his hands, because I know that he's going to wrap the music around me, and the music is going to have such integrity and such just simplistic beauty. I mean, it's just how he hears things. He's just amazing. And, I'm very fortunate to be able to have the opportunity to work with George again.
Well, look, the fact of the matter is he is wonderful in all those regards, but the bottom line is he loves you, and he wanted to make this as special of an experience as he possibly could. So he pulled out the freaking stoppers here, Jeff.
No, he really did. He really did. You know, and you know, there are things that went on during this recording that nobody really is aware of. I mean, one is that his wife was dying, you know,
yes.
And that he poured his soul into this record, you know, and, you know, I just, I can't thank him enough. It's actually, to be honest with you, I never could listen to myself once a record was recorded, and this is the only record that I've been able to listen to and
enjoy. Oh, my
enjoy.
Gosh.
I critique everything I have ever done. I'm just now enjoying the LTD records. That was the 70s. That's like,
come
I can't
on.
Listen. I have a hard time listening to myself. It's like I'm always critiquing and saying, why did I do this here? I should have did that. So I can't really enjoy it. This is the one record that I've been able to listen to and really enjoy. And I think it's because it is so musical and there's so many other things going around besides just my vocal that are just beautiful. I mean, the playing, the musicianship is just, you know, so that's why I say this is probably one of my favorite recordings ever.
Well, first of all, I want you to go back and listen to Only Human and the Last Time I Made Love with Joyce Kennedy, because those are two standouts. Oh, my gosh, you are something else. That's so funny. And here's the thing about your recording experience with these masters for A Time for Love and what George has been able to assemble for this project. When you have a comfortable session like this, I mean, gosh, without sounding new agey, Jeffrey, I'm just going to say that you become the song. You become the song so much that I forget who sang some of these songs before you.
Oh, well, that's an incredible compliment. I do appreciate that. But, yeah, you're right. When you're in a setting like this and you're with incredible musicians like that, you do become the song. And
wow.
We all together make a connection. And like I said, that's the beauty of doing it live, because we were vibing off of one another. We were complimenting one another. And so it does all become one. And we were into each one of these songs. And, I mean, we recorded actually a couple more songs that didn't go on because we only put 12 on the record. But it was an incredible session, and we recorded all of these songs in 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
We did 7 songs a day live. So that was the other amazing thing, was the amount, the volume of work we did. We had to, because Christian McBride was only in town for 2 days, and George wanted to use Christian, and I understand why he wanted to use Christian, because he is just incredible, incredible bass player. Yeah.
Yep, and it was wonderful for George, because he has made it public that you are the most fun person he has ever worked with.
We had a good time. We had lots of fun doing this.
I'll bet. Oh, my gosh. Just it's so nuts. I mean, this could be another hour, and I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. Two questions. You just did the Soul Train Cruise, and you are going to do the other one this year, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we just finished the first annual Soul Train Cruise, which was so much fun. It was unbelievable. I mean, they went all the way back, and they grabbed all the great groups from the 60s. I mean, we had the Spinners, we had the OJs, we had the Intruders, we had Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
The main ingredient.
we had the main ingredient, that's right. We had, and then, of course, there was the OJs and Patti LaBelle. It was pretty special to get a chance, because, you know, you're on a cruise for a week, so I actually got a chance to hear everyone. And
oh, my gosh. Mm.
You know, it just takes you back. You know, all those great songs. It just was like hit after hit after hit after hit you're hearing. So it was quite enjoyable. And then the one in October is actually going out of San Diego, and it's going to go through like Puerto Vallarta and Cabo. And that's going to be incredible, because the talent on that is even more ridiculous. It's Earth, Wind & Fire. It's Gladys Knight. It's Jennifer Holliday. It's incredible. The talent on the next one is ridiculous. So,
you know what? To have been a fly on the wall at some of those sessions, you and Eddie LaVert, for example, the conversations.
Oh, that's my boy. He gave me my first opportunity as a kid to play drums. I played drums. I met him in my hometown when I was 15 years old. They came through my hometown. They were playing in a nightclub. I went to see him, and their drummer was horrible. He was just falling asleep in between songs. So I asked him, I said, Eddie, you guys need a drummer? You know, he said, yeah, kid, can you help us find one? I said, well, I play drums. He said, well, you're too young. I said, no, man, let me get you. He said, okay, we'll come up and audition. We're going to audition a few people tomorrow. And I auditioned, and I got the job. So I played 2 weeks when I was 15 with the OJs. And, of course, my mother said, don't get any ideas about leaving town.
Right.
You're not going anywhere. But but that really got me going. That pumped me up to the point where I was like, wow, I can do this. This is what I want to do. And so, you know, I talk to Eddie all the time about, we sit up and laugh about when, you know, when I was like 15 years old playing drums with the OJs. So, yeah, we have some great conversations. I love Eddie. He's one of my all-time favorite vocalists because I worked with him in the 70s with the LTD and the OJs. We did those shows together, and he was the one person that I admired because every single night he brought it to the stage. Every single night that I watched him perform. So
yeah,
he's one of my all-time favorites.
And you know what? He's a hero for me because most people would have crumbled and fallen down with the amount of tragedy that he's had
in his life. I know.
But he has risen like a phoenix. I think the world of him.
Well, he is a spirit. He is an unbelievable spirit. And he has got that personality. He's like George. They are bubbling over with personality, and they are the same. Every time you see them, they are the same person. And I love that about people. I hate to, you know, meet people and one day they like you and the next day they don't want to talk to you.
Right. You have probably met your share of them in this business. Oh, jeez. Okay, one last question. I know you got to go. What is the deal with Chaka Khan on this album with you? Because that was smoking.
Oh, wow. I was very fortunate to get Chaka. I mean, actually, George was doing this United Nations jazz concert, and Chaka was on it. And she asked George what he was doing. He told her he was producing me, and she said, well, I want to be a part of that. I want to sing with Jeffrey. So George said, well, Chaka wants to do a duet. I said, well, that's a no-brainer. Okay, let's do it. And actually, that song is the song she wanted to do. She's like, oh, well, I want to do Baby It's Cold Outside. And I looked at George and I said, George, that's a Christmas song, though. I don't know. And they're all like, well, you know, there's versions that get played all year round. Ray Charles, Betty Carter, there's just so many great. So I said,
okay,
let's do it. And she was just so delightful. She came in. She sang. I thought she was going to blow me away. I said, well, Chaka's going to come in here and blow the roof off of this. And she came in and she just sang the melody so sweet. And it was so much fun working with her. She's a class person.
And you know what she was doing? She was saving up that banter that you two had for years. Waiting for the right person to sing the song with, and you were it.
Well, we had fun. We definitely had fun.
Oh, my God. Well, of course, you know I'm going to end the interview. I just played it on the other day, but I'm going to play it again. And then a little bit later on, I'm going to play one of my other favorites. Well, you're doing your thing, When I Fall in Love. It's just a stellar version. Everything on the album is Jeffrey. I'm just blown away.
Well, that's a great arrangement. George outdid himself with When I Fall in Love. That's a classic arrangement. And I feel very blessed to have had the opportunity to do a record like this with George. I wouldn't have wanted to do it with any other person than George.
Yeah.
We talked about it for the last 3 or 4 years, and we finally got a chance to do it. And so, you know, it's a blessing, really.
Well, George Duke knows that I absolutely adore him, and now I love him even more because of what he was able to do for his good friend. You are one of the premier talents of the universe. You have been for quite some time, and you will indefinitely, and I wish you every single piece of joy with this new album.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Trish.
You are welcome, and thank you for your time, and we will see you down the road. Hey, don't be surprised to see me on that Soul Train cruise.
Come on out.
Hey, look, it seems like the time of your life on that cruise. The buzz from that first one was just crazy, and some things you just need not miss out on life.
Yeah, that's true, and that's one that you really should. If you want to go on a cruise, this next one's going to be incredible. Really, it's going to be unbelievable. And we're going to such beautiful places. And actually, I get a chance to host. I'm hosting a golf tournament in Puerto Vallarta. So we're going to have a lot of fun on this next cruise.
Oh, my gosh. Double duty for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, I had my first annual golf tournament, a celebrity tournament in my hometown of Providence, Rhode Island in August, and it was unbelievable. Magic Johnson hosted it for me, and I had the OJs playing, I had Smokey playing, I had New Edition playing, I had Sinbad, I had Pat Riley, I had John. It was incredible, incredible tournament. So we're doing it again this August, August 12th and 13th, and we're going to have some of the same. Magic's going to host it again, and so they asked me to host this one here in on the cruise. So you know, you got to go get those tickets for the cruise. Not many left, actually. And come on,
yeah,
play some golf.
That's right.
Come on, hang out, and we'll play some golf together.
That is so cool. Just please promise me that if you are in a situation where you're a Smokey Robinson again, please don't ever be on the same stage, because women, any straight woman's going to pass right out. I'm begging you, Jeffrey. Don't do it.
We were on the stage together at my tournament.
We
had a great time. Yeah.
That's cruel. Cruel and unusual punishment. Thank you so much. What I'll do is when I play the track a little bit later in the show, I'll make sure folks know where to go for the link for the Soul Train Cruise.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jeffrey Osborne. Oh, my gosh. Look. The show can end now, okay? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. What should I do? What song should I play? I'll just leave the chat room. Do you want me to play When I Fall in Love? Do you want me to play the one with Chaka Khan that we heard the other day? You let me know, because I've got two waiting in the wings. Oh, you just let me know. Matt, Griselda, E, let me know. Okay, it's Chaka Khan, because Matej spoke up. This, in case you just didn't hear the song the other day, George's idea. Chaka and he were talking at this United Nations function, International Jazz Day, I believe. So Chaka said, if you're going to do Jeffrey's album, I'm in. Can I do a song that I've been wanting to do? And that's really how it went down. This is Baby, It's Cold Outside from Jeffrey Osborne's album, and you have to pick this up, please. A Time for Love. Enjoy on Hybrid Jazz. Whoops, wait a minute. I don't want to do that. Wait a minute. All right. I see I'm all excited. Let me play the right one, and I'll play that one later on. Yeah.
Ooh, it's cold. Open the door.
It is cold out here. I got it. Come on in.
All right. Yeah. Now I can't stay long.
You can stay a little long. You can stay a little
long. No. I told you I gotta go.
Okay, well, let's have a couple drinks.
I really can't stay.
Chaka, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Chaka, it's cold outside.
This evening has
hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hand. They're just like
my mama will start to wear.
Ain't beautiful what you heard.
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace roar.
Really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some music on while I pour. Bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No caps to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks well.
I ought to say no.
You mind if I move in closer?
Thank you.
just stop it right there because that was just so tasty. I just have to talk about it. Oh, my God. Thad Jones. How cool was it to play Thad Jones and Company after Jeffrey Osborne? I think Jeffrey wanted to hang out some more. If he had heard that, he would have been tripping right now. Thad Jones, the song is called Blue Room, a Rodgers and Hart song from Detroit, New York Junction that was recorded March the 13th, 1956. Man, that was so good. Thad Jones on trumpet. Billy Mitchell, tenor sax on this project. Tommy Flanagan on piano. Kenny Burrell on guitar. Oscar Pettiford on bass. And Shadow Wilson doing some drums there. Oh, it was so nice. I see Matt's just chomping at the bit to get Jeffrey's album and this one. Man, this is good stuff. This was Thad Jones' first session as leader, played with so many folks, and just an interesting story. If you ever want to get a chance to hear about the Jones family, Brother Hank played piano, Brother Elvin played drums, and man, I just did not know that the honoring of Thad's birthday is coming up on March 28th. It's amazing how things just fall into place when you get a chance to program this show. And once again, speaking of which, thank you to Amanda Bracker at Birdland tonight for stopping by in the first half hour, and Jeffrey Osborne in the second half hour. Do you know how cool of a day this is for moi? Thank you all for being there to be a part of this because, you know, once you have followed somebody for 3 decades plus, that's a little crazy, right? Yeah. So, I'm feeling a little crazy. So crazy that I'm going to go to my homeland, one of them anyway, Ireland. St. Patrick's Day is 3 days away, don't you know? We've got to play a little Irish music for you. Ronan Guilfoyle, one of the names that people talk about all the time in Ireland. I think you'll appreciate this work. Get ready, will ya? Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is a couple of songs thrown into one from 2004. Exit the Sligo Maid on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I hope you choose it. Believe you can do it. I hope whatever you do, when you've been down so low, take the high.
Vision of Daryl Walker and Jeffrey Osborne being on the same stage. Wow. Whew. Got to get some air in here. Daryl Fitzgerald Walker. Now, you know I'm going to make an effort to play on the show right before St. Patrick's Day a man who's got Fitzgerald in his name. Come on now. Just a good old-fashioned Irish name there. Daryl Walker. The singer with East Bay Soul from the first EBS project, which was just delightful a few years ago. I wish Beej was here so she could have heard one of her best pals singing that song. Just lovely. In case you haven't heard the news, this is pretty exciting. Daryl will continue to do his stints with East Bay Soul, and they are coming up. One of the places they're coming is Spagatini's in Seal Beach, and so is Daryl Walker doing his solo thing with the Velvet Room. Mm-hmm. Solo gigs are lining up for Daryl, and that's pretty exciting because if you ever have had a chance to see him do his thing in person, he's just really extraordinary and has been doing his vocals with a group that does a lot of corporate kinds of endeavors and has had a myriad of success with that. But East Bay Soul opened some new doors for him, and he needs to go through those doors. So that's what he's doing. I wish, from the first East Bay Soul, Daryl Walker on vocals, and Greg Adams, just a proud brother, waiting in the wings, looking to see what's next on the agenda. East Bay Soul is doing so well. Tizer, as in Lau Tizer, the head of that band. Wasn't that awesome? Tanzanika, the name of the song from Downbeat just last year. A Boulder, Colorado keyboardist, composer, and multi-instrumental visionary. I mean, this young man can do so much and incorporates a global kind of, besides vision, what's the word I'm looking for? He really wants to incorporate all different kinds of sounds so that you can definitely hear the hybrid in what his passions are. Had a chance to interview him on Cool Jazz Conversations, I guess it was last year, early last year, and he's just delightful. And I am not the only one who thinks so. Oh, my goodness. He is going to be at the Cape Coral, Florida Sounds of Jazz and Blues Fest coming up on the 23rd. I'm so glad I looked up that information. If you are in Cape Coral, Florida, or can be, what a show that's going to be. There's going to be some hot acts there. And I think that he's coming to Spags, too, in May. Spagatini's. They get all the good folks, don't they? Man, it would be really neat to do a little trip, cross-country excursion in a car, going from East Coast to West Coast to see Spags and see Beach and see Linda and all the wonderful characters, Jonathan Widdrin, too. Man, we got to plan that somehow. To start the set, it was Ronan Guilfoyle, new friend on Facebook. Welcome, Ronan. Man, bassist, educator, composer, author, mercy. And his new album is called Renaissance Man, but this is from 2004's Exit CD. Just one of those really creative kinds of improvisational artists, one of Ireland's best known, certainly in the inner circle. His birthday was the 5th of March. Ronan, happy belated birthday to you, just a few days away from Jeffrey Osborne. And Jeffrey, by the way, in case you don't know, last Saturday turned 65. Woo! It's just hard to comprehend that. So, yes, Guilfoyle is the man that we heard, and that was a 9-minute track, Exit and the Sligo Maid, just mixing it up with what appears to be traditional Irish music and then a free-form kind of a Ornette Coleman kind of thing going on in the middle of that. That was wild. Whew, so many artists to play. I am having a ball. God, I love this show. Thank you so much for being there. It was so cool in the first hour. Amanda Brecker first, and then Jeffrey Osborne. And we're going to get to another Jeffrey track. We have to, don't you think? Yeah, I think we do. Let us play this. It just so happened that I was searching for a female artist to play because I always am searching for women who can play. And this lady is no longer with us. Tragically, she passed away at the age of 32, far, far too young. But when she was among us, oh, did the jazz world sit up and take notice. On guitar, the amazing Emily Remler from 1988. And something to pass along to you in the way of what you can do to honor her if you like what you hear, because someone is walking in her shoe prints and wants to do something special for her in the Washington, D.C. area. I'll tell you all about that coming up. This is from Emily's last album, the title track, East to West, as in West Montgomery, on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you. Guacamara bird. And well, maybe he's bringing me a cheery word. I hear a bridge, a Guacamara breeze. It well, maybe it follows me across the sea. Then tell me, please, how are things in Guacamara? Is that little brook still leaping red? Does it still run down to Donegal? Through Killybeck, Kilkerry, and Kildare, how are things in Guacamara? Is that willow tree still weeping there? Does that laddie with the twin? Willow tree still weeping there. Does that laddie with the twinkling eye come with? so I ask each weeping willow and each brook along the way and each lady comes whistling to rely.
That is my super talented friend Chris McNulty. How are things in Glockamora? Had to play a similar song like that 3 days before St. Patrick's Day. And actually, in doing a little research about the song, it was written for the 1947 play, Finian's Rainbow. There is no such place as Glockamora. The folks who wrote the song, Burton Lane and E.Y. Harburg, made it up. And man, from a fictional town in Ireland, much money has been made through the years. Lots of people have covered that song. Barbara Streisand, Sonny Rollins, Dick Hames, real, real popular in the 40s. And when the play was made into a motion picture some years ago, Petula Clark, remember her? She covered the song, too, but I like the way Chris McNulty does it, and I like the way she does everything. From the song that sings you here, Chris, with her amazing voice, Ugano Okegwo on bass, Marcus Gilmore on drums, Paul Bolenbeck on guitars, just lovely. Andre Kondakov on piano, and more involved, but I want to make sure you heard all of the songs that we are going to mention and a little bit of credit for each so that we can get to some more, because it just seems like a music-intense day. We need it. We need it. Hopefully, wherever you are, there's a little bit of sunshine or there's the promise of sun coming. Certainly, spring is here in a way. It could be here more. Just keep on plugging. Just a few days away. Chris McNulty, who is on her way, I believe, to Australia, to mingle with her late son's friends on what would have been Sam's 32nd birthday on the 19th of March. So keep her in your thoughts, will you? I know in some ways she was looking forward to going to Australia. In some ways she was a little tense about it because it's going to stir up some memories, and she really is a strong person, but it's so cool to be able to carry her in prayer and your good thoughts. So if you could do that for me, thank you. We heard, oh my goodness, we heard some good tunes. Woo-hoo-hoo! Charles McPherson, born in Joplin, Missouri, raised in Detroit, and we're going to hear more Detroit music on the way, and moved to New York, and within a year afterwards, found work with Charles Mingus. 1960 to 1972, what you heard was Morning Dance from Manhattan Nocturne. That was back in 1998. Charles is 73, and from what I see on his website, if he's looking like that at 73, I'm about to go to New York. Woo! He's looking good. Let me tell you something. He was responsible for a large portion of what you heard with Clint Eastwood as director for this very passionate project that Clint Eastwood took over on Charlie Parker. Remember Bird back in the day? The film. Charles helped Clint Eastwood out quite a bit, and a lot of folks really have loved helping Charles out through the years on that particular project, Manhattan Nocturne. Mulgrew Miller, the great keyboardist, Bobby Sanabria, Roy Drummond, and Victor Lewis. Just real wonderful work. Glad, Matt, you enjoyed that in the chat room. Some of my beloveds are in here today, some guests floating back and forth, and some may have heard that I was going to do an Emily Remler piece today. if you like this great guitarist who had a brief and shining time while she was walking among us on Earth, you might want to go to allthingsemily.com, and you will find out, among other things, that there is going to be a special concert given by Cheryl Bailey on March 25th at Bohemian Caverns in Washington, D.C., a sort of tribute to Emily and all that Cheryl learned from her when Emily came to visit Cheryl's town of Pittsburgh, PA, some years ago. Cheryl never forgot, never will. Emily, on that particular last CD, East to West, had Hank Jones on piano. We just talked about Thad Jones and played something by him, made a reference to Hank on piano there. Buster Williams on bass, Marvin Smitty Smith on drums. And that particular album, by the way, includes Clifford Brown's Dawood. Really remarkable stuff on that last, and some say the best, Emily Remler album. So, if you are a new fan, I'm glad for you. I am a little girl from the East Coast who made her way in a big way in jazz. A lot of men just took a step back when they heard her. I love that when that happens. Speaking of Detroit, we're going to get into a little vibe here. We're going to play some Baltimore. We're going to play some Detroit. And for somebody who's listening right now, he's going to get a surprise because he does not expect me to play this third song in the set. I had no idea until today that this gentleman, who I speak to on a pretty much daily basis now via Facebook, was a part of this scenario. I happened to look in doing my research today and found out that this wonderful gentleman is a part of this group, and a new album is coming out. We're going to dip back into the old one, but you're going to hear a strong R&B vibe in this, and actually a little bit more, because this is Dave McMurray from 2011. Funky track from I Know About Love. This is Time Number 4 on Hybrid Jazz.
Time is a lovely illusion that stretches and contracts with each moment, moment. Time. I need more time. Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz.
If I
thank you for the time I spent with you.
Gentleman who surprised me and I loved it. His name was Ted Carpenter, who has since become my friend on Facebook, and he told me that his group, Father's Children, have been doing their thing for a while, and I've seen the website fatherschildren.com, but there's a new album in the works. So I did a little research. What you just heard is a song called If, from 2007's Sky's the Limit album. Now, these guys have been around for a long time. Well, I delved into matters in the past 24 hours, and they're based out of Brandywine, Maryland. So, naturally, I gravitated to that. I'm here in Philly a little bit, but I know that these guys are Maryland guys. Lo and behold, I discover that one of my favorite people on Facebook, Art Mosley, has been a part of this group. I had no idea. Art, the consummate keyboardist, has been in touch with me on a regular basis, one of the sweetest characters and very talented. To know that he's in this amalgam of fabulous musicians just thrills me. And it was so cool to play old school there, backed up with new school, Felgen Allen, who you heard with Freedom, the number of that track, the name of that track from Universal Language, a brand new CD, Felgen on trumpet, and some superior musicians, including Doobie Powell and Tim Green, who you heard on the show a few weeks ago, will be with Felgen tonight at Eden's Lounge for a CD release party. You make sure that if you're in the Baltimore area and you can go and support this amazing young man who I've had to see a few times and blew me away. When you see him play, you are seeing what used to be. This is no joke. You are seeing a vision on stage of greatness that came from the 50s and 60s, whether you're thinking of Miles Davis or Clifford Brown, who he reveres. Felgen is this young man with an old soul. It's like he's been here a few times. Really amazing to hear and see. And if you can pick up Universal Language, please do. He really believes in that whole philosophy of music being able to save the planet, because what we have essentially to communicate is music that has no words. He did a pretty good job there, didn't he? Yeah. Art, I'm going to be after you in a while. We're going to have this whole conversation about you and Father's Children. That's pretty cool. And what we heard to start was Dave McMurray, who was here a while ago. This is going back over a year now on Hybrid Jazz. Just amazing. Multi-talented, based out of Detroit. You probably know that. Multi-level sax man, flute, keys, percussion. Just one of those musicians that people gravitate to. They want him on sessions. They want him on the road. Case in point, Kem. Dave had been the musical director for Kem, and I actually have to catch up to see what's going on with him. And if there's a possibility where, you know, some of us can still see Brian O'Neill and Dave McMurray on the same stage as Kem, another situation where some of us would pass out. Anyway, that was from 2011's I Know About Love. The name of the track was Time Number 4. Time is getting to be of the essence. Amanda Brecker was here with us in the first hour, followed by Jeffrey Osborne. In this set, a little flavor of some history with them both. Amanda was talking about Dad, Randy Brecker, and about her uncle, Michael Brecker. If you remember, back in those days, going back to the 70s now, when Randy and Michael got together, 1975, they had a self-titled CD, and it wasn't a CD then, it was an LP, and this was a song that still generates some buzz. We're not exactly sure where they were coming from with this. These are Cheltenham, PA boys. We don't know. Suburban Philadelphia boys. I can attest to some things that went on at that time, hon. But these are the Brecker brothers, Amanda's daddy, Randy, Uncle Michael, Levitate, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And another little Jeffrey Osborne tune coming up.
and I fall in love. It will be forever. Or I'll never fall in love. In a restless world like this is, love is ended before it's begun. And too many moonlight kisses seem to cool in the warmth of the sun. When I give my heart, it will be completely, or I'll never leave my heart. And the moment I can feel I fall in love with you.
When I fall
Everybody, you okay? Just checking. Whoa. Oh, man. Let me tell you. Yeah. This is what the album is like. A Time for Love, Jeffrey Osborne with, thank you very much, George Duke on piano and on LeGonc's Symphony. Christian McBride on upright bass, John Roberts on drums, Paul Jackson Jr. on electric guitar, and Rick Braun on flugelhorn. Whew! You know what? You got to have nads of steel to be able to do that song, going into it knowing that you are on revered territory, sacred ground. Jeffrey knew that, but seriously, raise your hands if you can remember anybody who sang that song before you heard that just now. Oh, that's what he did with each of these songs. And just so you know, so you're going to get your money's worth, The Shadow of Your Smile, Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight, Baby It's Cold Outside, which you heard earlier with Chaka, Close to You, Carpenters, oh yes, he did, My One and Only Love, Smile, the Charlie Chaplin song, Teach Me Tonight with Everett Harp, What a Wonderful World, yes, yes, he did. Nature Boy, You Don't Know What Love Is, oh, where do you hear that? And a song that Jeffrey wrote, A Time for Love. Unbelievable. And, man, the hits just keep on coming. What a wonderful, a little bit over 30-minute interview we had at 1:30 earlier today, first hour. You might be in a different time zone, and I apologize. It's a wonder I'm not a blithering idiot at this point. No remarks from the peanut gallery about that. We heard also the Brecker brothers, Randy and Michael Levitate, from their debut album in 1975 with David Sanborn and Dan Grolnick on that. And they were calling what they were doing then skunk funk. And Randy is really, really busy. He's got a latest project with the DR Big Band, the Jazz Ballad Songbook, and he is doing a Brecker Brothers reunion tour of sorts, different places. You might want to check that out on randybrecker.com. The only thing that I could possibly think of to top what we just heard, given the time, it's just about 10 minutes before the closing of the show. So, me being the mother of Tiernan Eugene Hennessy Flaherty, I have to play something of note because of the Irish heritage involved. Oh, yes, there's more than Irish involved, but I have to play one of those definitive songs. And here it is. If you know about the Chieftains at all, you know what you're about to hear, but you might not have experienced Tears of Stone, the 1999 album, in which it's the Chieftains at their level best with an abundance of female voices, including Joni Mitchell, Lorena McKinnitt, Akiko Yano, and this lady right here who is having the time of her life doing her Glad Rag Doll CD tour. But there are a lot of folks who would agree that Diana Krall's version of Danny Boy is one of the best. And here it is on Hybrid Jazz.
Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the flowers are falling. Tis you, must go and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when and white with snow, tis I'll be there in sunshine or in Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so. I shall sleep. in peace until you come to me.
Oh, mercy. Yes, just a few days away on Sunday. And please let me cajole you into thinking that it would be a really good idea to possibly stay away from the crazies on St. Patrick's Day. It's just a shame that we have to think about that, because it's more than just an occasion to have a few extra glasses of something else. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just a beautiful day, and hopefully it will get the honor it deserves. Wanted to play something by the Chieftains, not one of your real up-tempo Chieftains albums. They're very soulful and reflective, and Diana Crowell does a really good job in showcasing the kind of feel that the guys wanted to have with Danny Boy. Oh, one of those great songs. Merciful heavens. Again, thanks to everybody who joined us. Yolanda Bell, so nice to see you. Yolanda in Southern California now. We miss her here back in the mid-Atlantic, but we know she's in a better place, and she's getting her groove on. And aren't we all? Please be safe over the weekend, and thank you for your support. Bobby Humphrey had, what is it now? My gosh, close to 800 hits. Listening to the interview from the other day, and I know that she's really thrilled. God bless you all. It's just really wonderful. What Blog Talk Radio has done, technical difficulties aside from time to time, because if they decide to make you a featured host, things start to take on a whole new dimension. So thank you, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Matthew and Griselda and Beej and E! He was here today, yay, and assorted guests in and out. Have a wonderful weekend. Again, be safe, and we'll see you on Tuesday with a surprise on Hybrid Jazz. God bless.